Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Global music superstar Bad Bunny's latest project, Debitar Mas Fotos, has received rave reviews, in part because of his weaving of Puerto Rico's history, politics, and the island's diaspora throughout the album. UW-Madison Assistant Professor of History Jarell Melendez-Badillo created 17 brief visual history lessons for each one of Bad Bunny's songs, which are now on YouTube. WUWM's Jimmy Gutierrez is joined by Melendez-Badillo, who shares the story of how the collaboration happened and what history Bad Bunny wanted to share about the island.
I feel like every Puerto Rican I know is a Bad Bunny fan, as well as the whole world at this point. What about Bad Bunny, the music, the artistry, really kind of appeals to you in both a historical way and a scholarly way?
I guess I'll start by saying that I have this colleague, Yarimay Bonilla, who teaches at Princeton, and I read that she once said that Bad Bunny was like that primo, that cousin that made it. And so everyone in Puerto Rico is proud of having that cousin that is on a global stage. So I think there's a sense of Benito belonging to us. Now, on a more academic side, I think that, you know, the Bad Bunny phenomenon is super interesting to me because I think there's a before and after Benito. You know, he broke all the rules in the genre when he came out. Reggaeton was a hyper-masculine, macho sort of aesthetic, and then he started painting his nails. He sort of queered reggaeton in a way. Also, he got to this global platform speaking Spanish and not losing that. So I think it's that Benito marks a turning point. In fact, my book, Puerto Rico National History, is a history of Puerto Rico from pre-Columbian times to Bad Bunny, because I think that the Bad Bunny phenomenon is so fascinating. And the book that I have a chapter on with Professor Santiago Ortiz is called The Bad Bunny Enigma. And it's a bunch of scholars just trying to grapple with this question that you just posed. What is it about Bad Bunny that is so fascinating, right?
Right. And your work together covers 500 years of history from pre-Columbian history to current day. And I want to kind of get into that collaborative process, because the end product, which you can see online, which is these kind of explainers of Puerto Rican history, little snapshots of Puerto Rican history on Bad Bunny's YouTube page. How did that all come together? And how did you all decide what history you would dig into?
So the mandate was basically that they wanted history, or Benito wanted history, to accompany the visualizers in YouTube. And so at first I thought it was niche sort of Puerto Rican history, unknown Puerto Rican history. But Benito came back and said, you know, part of the problem is that any history of Puerto Rico is unknown, even to Puerto Ricans. And so it was this balance of sort of offering people a general history of the archipelago and its people and its diaspora, and more specific sort of themes and topics. And so I think that, you know, for me, having written a history of Puerto Rico from pre-Columbian times to Bad Bunny in 200 pages or less prepared me to write 17 visualizers of short narratives.
The first narrative, or the visualizer as they're called, that I would love to get into is the opening track on the album, which I'm guessing there's some significance there, Nueva York, which I'm looking at the numbers right now online and we're in excess of 38 million. Will you ever write anything more popular as a history professor? Can I get you just to maybe read a little bit of it in Spanish and then translate a little bit of that in English, what the message is that you wanted to get across?
Absolutely. So before I go into the lines, I just want to say that I really enjoyed that Benito put this song first in the record, because I think it's an homage to that diasporic Puerto Rican and Caribbean culture in the States and abroad. And so the record doesn't start in San Juan or in Manatí or Vega Baja. It starts in the most Caribbean place in the world, in Nueva York.
Nueva York!
And so the visualizer, the text, is called La Bandera Puertorriqueña 1895 a 1952. Luego de varios siglos de colonización española, comenzó su vida.
Hey, 4 de julio, Perla y Ulay. Ando con mi prima borracha,
So in this slide, what I wanted to do was to begin by saying that the first time that we are referred to in the colonial record is in a pejorative manner. The Spanish colonial officers were calling us bastards, and how Puerto Ricans have always resignified the pejorative ways that people have addressed us. And also to talk a little bit about the Puerto Rican flag itself and how it was not created in Manatí. It was actually created in New York City. And so it tells the story of the Puerto Rican flag and how it was unveiled in 1895 at the Cuban Revolutionary Party's committee, which had a Puerto Rico section. And so it signified the combined struggle for independence of Cuba and Puerto Rico. And although it was later incorporated by the Puerto Rican government, it was illegal for some time to have the Puerto Rican flag. It has a revolutionary origin, and it has a diasporic origin as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next song I would love for us to get into is the actual album title track, Debitar Mas Fotos, which there's also a short video as well. And this is not an original thought, but it was a thought that I had just listening to the album and watching these videos, is the evolution of him as an artist, the evolution of reggaeton, the incorporation of Afro-Caribbean instruments and sound. If we can get a breakdown here as well, that would be great.
Absolutely. So I did not get to decide which text went with which song, but I think that the team did a wonderful and beautiful job merging them together. And one thing I'll say is that this particular slide was something that Benito wanted. He wanted something about the history of plena and bomba, which are these two Afro-Caribbean rhythms, and how they are the basis of reggaeton. De la plena y la bomba al reggaeton, 1500 a 1990. La borinqueña, la canción que luego pasará...
El perreo, la salsa, la bomba y la plana. Chequéate la mía, cómo es que suena.
Plena are two Afro rhythms, Afro-Caribbean rhythms that were understood as noise. They were actually police. People were arrested or fined for playing bomba plena as close as last year. There was an incident in the southern part of Puerto Rico where the cops were called on people that were playing bomba. And so how it became the basis of reggaeton, sort of to also pay homage to the Afro-Caribbean dimension of reggaeton. Because Manito has talked about, you know, being a white Puerto Rican, but reggaeton in its essence is an Afro-Caribbean rhythm.
Okay, so the last song that I would love for you to break down for me is my favorite song in the album, the song that I've had on repeat for a month, Baile Inolvidable. I'm guessing it's more than just a heartbreak song or a longing song. So if you could do me the honor of breaking down what this song is going for and what the message is on the visualizers that are accompanying the music.
Absolutely. So Baile Inolvidable, I think it's a great song because it's, although salsa is in the record from the get-go and throughout the record, I think it was his attempt of playing around with the sounds of salsa while paying tribute to that music that basically raised a lot of us in Puerto Rico. And so in this particular slide, I was talking about the creation of the Commonwealth in Puerto Rico. Estas acciones aspiraban a tomar la atención internacional. Es en este contexto, tanto local como internacional, que el Congreso de los Estados Unidos aprobó la Ley 600, permitiendo a los puertorriqueños crear una nueva forma de gobierno. And so one of the things that I wanted to do with this slide is to heed to Anito's call that a lot of the history that should be general, that should be well known amongst Puerto Ricans is unknown. And so this is talking about the creation of the Puerto Rican Commonwealth in 1952, which is the current political status that we have, but also talking about the agency of Puerto Ricans. You know, we were talking earlier about how we're often infantilized in media, and it goes all the way back to 1898 when the United States invaded Puerto Rico and they produced cartoons of Puerto Ricans as children, as, you know, women in distress. And so it was a way of also talking about the agency that we've had throughout our history, and that contrary to some beliefs, we're not docile, but we are, you know, it's a history of indocility, the history of Puerto Rico.
Thinking about your work and Bad Bunny's work and how those messages in history reach or don't reach Boricuas in Wisconsin, you know, I'm looking at some numbers here that we have in excess of 65,000 here in the state. And I know we've hit on the fact that this history is so unknown and inaccessible. And for a lot of folks, it's just not realistic to get back to the island. So what are the challenges in keeping in touch with what's happening in Puerto Rico at this time? And then what does an album like this do to bridge that gap?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think that is a question that a lot of scholars and non-scholars and Puerto Ricans have been thinking a lot about, precisely because there's more Puerto Ricans in the diaspora than in the archipelago. And in my work, one of the ways that I've sought to address that is that when writing a general history of Puerto Rico, I incorporated the Puerto Rican diaspora as part of the narrative, which is a simple narrative move, but it had not been done previously. Our general history books did not take into consideration the Puerto Rican diaspora. And shout out to all the Puerto Ricans in Wisconsin and all the Latinx community as well, because I'm part of a big Mexican community in Madison. Those are my neighbors, you know, the people that I rock with. But to your point, I think, and to your question, I think that this record is doing something incredible by positioning itself in New York from the first song onwards, because it's a nod and a recognition about the importance of Caribbean and Latina culture, not only in the Caribbean and in Latin America, but also in the United States, right? And it doesn't mean that that struggle is less important than what's happening in Puerto Rico. Yes, what's happening in Puerto Rico is brutal. You know, we go through power outages on an almost daily basis, lack of infrastructure. I guess that this record, what it offers is a way of connecting with a sense of Puerto Ricanness, that sort of affirmation. And, you know, I never understood why Puerto Ricans in the diaspora were so cling to their flag until I got to be a diasporic Puerto Rican 11 years ago. And now I have the flag in my car. I have the flag in my socks. I think that a record like this one seeks to bridge that gap. And it just makes us proud of being who we are, but also acknowledging the challenges and difficulties of our people.
I've heard you call this album a snapshot of the present moment we're in, which, if that's the case, Debí Tirar Más Fotos is the perfect album title. But if it is a snapshot, who is Bad Bunny leaving that snapshot for? And what does he want the island to look like in the future?
You know, I think that in the last few years, Bad Bunny has become more aware of himself as a political actor and recognize his political agency. This is not new. The first time he appeared on national television, it was in the Tonight Show, and he used that stage to talk about a murder of a trans woman in Puerto Rico. He used the platform he had in El Apagón, that song that he dropped, and then all of a sudden you're watching the video and it becomes a documentary on gentrification, right? So it's not new that he's using his platform. I think it's a snapshot because, you know, we are at a moment where we're being displaced. There's a wealthy class that's being attracted by the government through a series of incentives that makes Puerto Rico a tax haven for millionaires. We are at a moment where rapid gentrification is displacing communities in the island. We're losing our culture. And so I think that Benito is very aware of what's happening, and he's very vocal about it. And I think Debí Tirar Más Fotos, Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii, What Happened to Hawaii, is another very political song in which he's talking about colonialism, displacement, and gentrification. And so I guess that the future that Benito wants is one where him and his people can stay in Puerto Rico if they so want it and have a decent living.
That was Jarrell Melendez Badillo, a UW-Madison assistant professor of history and author of Puerto Rico, A National History. He collaborated with Bad Bunny on the artist's newest album and spoke about it with WUWM's Jimmy Gutierrez.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.